More About Co-Housing with Lynn Morstead and Kelly Soika. Co-Housing Houston is a multi-generational, community-minded group of people who share the values of connection and sustainability. We're developing the first co-housing project in Texas, and we're really glad you found us today.
Hey, Lynn.
Hi, Kelly. How are you today?
I'm great. Welcome back. I'm glad to have you back.
Well, thank you. That's right. I almost forgot I was gone. I meant to mention to you that I loved the podcast with Laura.
I know. Wasn't it great? That's the fun thing I have to say about when you miss or when I miss, and then we have to like be like, oh, wait, who are we going to talk to? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, it kind of forces you to change your behavior and think outside of what you normally do. And so that's really good things come out of that, which actually leads us into our topic today, I think.
Yeah.
Right. Being forced out of kind of your stasis or where you are currently. So I'm excited to get to talk about that. We're going to talk about letting go of things and relationships and habits and patterns, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we encounter, I don't know if you encounter this, Lynn, but I encounter a lot when I talk to people about co-housing is it seems like it really, really resonates with people who are in a stage of kind of transition.
You know,
they're thinking about kind of what's next in their lives. And so for some people, that's retirement. For some people, that's kind of later retirement. There's a whole other phase built in there. For some people, it's, you know, I've had kids and I've gone through a divorce and what am I going to do now? For some people, it's we're planning to have kids and yikes, how are we going to raise them? You know, it really brings up, these are like the points in life where people think deeply about it. And so with that comes, you know, you're going through a transition. You're going from one place in life into another place in life. And often with that transition, there comes this, you need to let go of some things that you had in the previous, you know, phase of life in order to enter this new phase of life. So that's how we arrived at letting go when everybody's all of us.
Yeah. And I think it's important to say that just in case you're about to click off this podcast and think, oh my God, they're talking about downsizing again. We are not going into that per se again, but really going beyond and looking at all of the things that are involved in a change like this, you know, what you have to let go of. And of course, we're all seeking some benefit, right? I mean, we are looking to the future. We're looking to make a change here. And we're hoping for something better out of it. And I know from having made many moves, I know you've made many moves as well, and many changes in my life over the decades, that no matter how optimistic and expectant and looking forward to whatever it is I am, it often presents me with challenges that they always surprise me. I don't care how many times I move from, you know, here to Asia, to Europe, to South America, whatever, there's always a surprise. And, but one thing I've never, ever really thought about in any of that is going back on it. So some people say, well, if this is too hard, why are you doing this to yourself? And, you know, once I've made a commitment to something, I'm like a dog on a bone. I'm going to take this thing to the finish line and I'm going to make my way through it. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that one thing that people, one thing that co-housing does, you know, to that end is that if you always are kind of staying in the same place, your world is by definition getting smaller. You know, it's kind of like you're never moving forward. You're never meeting new people. You're never doing different things. You're never thinking about things differently. Mm. You know, if you always stay in the same place, that's what happens. And I don't even mean geographically, just kind of metaphorically in your life. If you're always in the same place, that happens. And especially at these kind of touch points in life, if you don't adapt with it, your world is going to contract. And I think that one of the things about co-housing is it really allows you to expand your world. So by letting go of some of these things, you can really expand your world, joining a co-housing community and living in closer relationship with your neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking about when you said that you are, when people just stay in one place, I'm thinking even if you just think about staying in one house or like staying on the path of what the normal trajectory is in the US, certainly in a very spacious world, physically spacious world where we live in the south of the United States, where people like us, as you your family grows, as your acquisitions grow, you then upsize, No, people don't talk about that word per se, but that's in fact the trajectory. Over time, you go from an apartment to maybe you buy some small things like the starter house is a concept, right? And then you have maybe one kid in a certain kind. If you're going to have more children, then you expand, you get a promotion, whatever. And then what happens is that any things that might come into your life that really you should be working on casting out, you say you don't have time and you just squirrel them away and you shove them in closets or you keep them in the garage,
Is this the
basement.
origin of the downsizing, Lynn? Is that
It's the flip side of upsizing that we've never talked about. And I think that without realizing it, that is kind of a physical component to what you're talking about emotionally, is that also kind of serves to constrain you in a way that you don't realize because you're actually spending a lot of mental energy and a lot of physical energy on kind of maintaining and keeping track of all this stuff. And you just don't realize it. And I think co-housing for me, when people say, why don't you just put this stuff in storage if it's so hard for you and you have an emotional, reaction to getting rid of some of this stuff? And my answer is, I just feel like I am called to do this right now while I still have all my mental faculties. I can make good decisions and I can process them in a healthy way. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to have really kind of go into some deep troughs as I've had lately. But that doesn't mean I don't go there. I'm not going to chicken out of this just because I, might call Kelly up in tears one day. I'm not going to bend away from that because I do see the prize at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah,
So.
and I think when I think about my life, moving into co-housing was for us the big shift. We moved in with a 3-year-old who's, three, like they're not babies anymore. You don't need a crib. You don't need kind of this other stuff. Not that mine ever successfully used a crib anyway, but we had all this stuff and we had space and we could just put this stuff somewhere else, at 10 o'clock at night when we were doing laundry and didn't want to, deal with it. We had space to put it away. And then we moved into co-housing and we didn't have space to do that. So it has made us, I think, more efficient as life has gone on. We don't have as many kind of just things that we're keeping just because we're keeping. It things have to be pretty spectacularly important to make the cut, just because of space, which I appreciate that boxing of our lives.
Well, and I think people ask or wonder whether, oh, it's a burden for you to keep this stuff. Well, I think when you have a lot of space, you can't really feel that burdened in a kind of immediate way. But once you've gotten rid of it, you do realize, oh, wow, that was a burden I didn't even know I had. So that's kind of this right sizing of the footprint piece, But today, I think we want to go beyond that, right?
I like this. You brought this up, like right sizing your relationships, that it helps you when you are living in an environment, even though we haven't moved in yet, we are living in an environment with other people where we are putting relationships first. We're putting them ahead of other things. And that working through a conflict resolution, working through how do you want feedback? How do you want it? Laird's whole deal about how do you best accept feedback? That's really different from the rest of the world.
Yeah, it is. And actually I had something happen in another small group completely separate from co-housing recently that really hit home for me. Somebody was having trouble with something we were doing and they brought it up in not a great way in a group and there was negative reaction. And so, oh my gosh, what I got to observe what the world is like that hasn't been exposed to what we're attempting to do here. So what started happening was a bunch of side conversations. Then somebody, the leader was prompted to, could you please send out an anonymous survey about how we should move forward? And I was just like, what on earth? all that needs to happen here, and I was able to talk to a few people about this idea, is we just need to call this person and talk to them. Why are we doing all of this complicated stuff? It's like just like being in there with a big spoon and we're stirring it all up. It's getting all messed up, and this poor person doesn't know that this is going on behind their back. And so and nobody wanted to call them. So I said, well, that's easy. I know how to call them. I felt like saying, I've just come fresh off a Laird's training. I know how to have this phone call. So, I got my little 4-step card out and I, called them up and we had a conversation and, we've made some slight adjustments in the group and there's no more back channel chattering anymore. I mean, that just went away instantly. And I felt so relieved and like just lighter. My load as a member of the group was lighter because I wasn't having to respond to all of this side stuff and this negativity. And I just thought, wow, this is lightening my load in different ways than I had expected, just learning a different way of dealing with things.
Yes, I feel very strongly that the early work that we did in our group also, we worked for those of us who have, for anybody who hasn't listened to like season one, we employed Karen Gibnig, who at the time was working as a process specialist, helping us to learn how to listen to one another and how to kind of work through some of this stuff so that then we could even figure out what how we wanted to deal with each other. And so I feel like in a causing group, you go through a lot of that same kind of like, how should we do this? Should we, do this, do that, do this, do that? But you do it before there's something on the table. So, well, if you're healthy and smart, you do it before there's something on the table. And so doing all that early work, I think really made it so that when we do have hard things that we need to address, we've already worked. We're not now throwing out new ideas that are, not going to work.
We kind of have a
Yeah, you've
we
got
have
to.
a tool that we can go to. That doesn't mean that's easier. So I don't want to kind of imply to anybody that this is not, still hard stuff sometimes, but at least we know what the right thing is. What it's kind of like with me and my, going through this exercise of getting rid of stuff. I know what the right thing is to do. It doesn't mean that it's easy, but I know what the right thing is, and I have a playbook that I
Yeah.
can pull off the shelf and I can employ. So I have a choice. Whereas before, I felt like I just had these old ways of doing things.
Yeah.
And I just am feeling very grateful that there's a new way that is going to be entering into my life. So
Yeah, and I don't want to imply that it's like idyllic or peaceful, but
no.
it does reduce. Lynn and I did a public event a couple of days ago. And somebody was asking about HOAs, and that comes up all the time because people have, there's like a lot of HOA trauma out
Every
there
single
in the world.
time.
Yeah, exactly. Like everybody has a really sad, scary, ruined relationship HOA story to tell. And if you don't, then congratulations, you found like the best HOA. But there's so many of them out there, and I just feel like it's there are these reactions that just don't even, they're way bigger than whatever the event itself is. These problems continue. Like there's, housing, you have the same, you have to have a budget and you have to, pay your bills and you have to do all those same things as an HOA. It's just that the reaction to those realities is different than it is in an environment where nobody's put any thought into what the relationship is going to be like. So I think right sizing the relationships is really a key element to letting go of the way you used to do things and how can you manage relationships in a way that's going to be human sized,
Well, and speaking relationships, that's a nice segue into the last thing we really wanted to bring up, and that is right sizing your budget. Because in today's world, the way a lot of people foster relationships is getting together for meals that are very expensive, in case anybody has noticed. And even a cup of coffee out and a snack or something. I mean, before you know it, you're just running up huge bills. And I think one of the things that this co-housing environment is going to do is really help us right size our budget and also give us ways not just to meet outside of those venues, but give us a place and maybe an understanding about how we can invite other people into our lives into a space that is feels like it's a third space, because sometimes people really want a third space. They don't necessarily want you in their kitchen or whatever. I mean, fine for me, come by anytime, but not everybody feels like that. And so I think having a third space that we care about that is an extension of our own home is going to open up different ways of being with people that will really make a difference to people's budgets. So it can.
And sometimes I want to go out. I guess that's the thing too. It's not only having people come in, it's also like I want to go out and go do things, but I don't
Sure.
have to go out into the broader world. I could go for a walk with a neighbor and that feels
Right.
like an event. You know what I mean? That feels good. That feels like, oh, I'm out.
Well, you know, go out is almost equal spend money.
Right. It's so true.
And we're going to be pulling back from that. It's going to be go out, not spend money.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
So it is like we've got some friends want to get together on Wednesday, and I'm thinking we'll just come over, sit in the backyard after supper. Like I've already got menus planned. It's Lent. I'm not going to a bar, you know. So just, but that feels weird to people. Just
Yeah.
go come hang out in my backyard,
Yep.
and you can bring a beer if you like, but
I think
it's,
Friday afternoons are when I most notice that because that's a time when I'm like, you know, done for the week. And I think like, oh, it'd be just nice to just sit and visit with someone. And when I do that, it's like, okay. And now, and you know, Mike wants to come too. And you know, so once we do, by the time we do that, we're like, you know, $50 into the afternoon.
I know.
Before we even have really done anything. And so, whereas we used to go to Friday afternoon club at Inco Housing and just
Nice.
you could bring a beer, not bring a beer, bring pistachios, don't bring pistachios, whatever, it doesn't matter. Just everybody sits around and admires. That's the other thing is you sit around and admire all of like the work that you've done to build this place. You know, it's kind of also self-congratulatory and edifying in that way.
Well, Kelly, this has been really refreshing for me and inspiring. Helped me get out of my latest trough of my dad's LPs. But I'll tell you something funny about my dad's LPs, just in closing, is that I've spent the last 3 weeks with them, like a huge collection of LPs, and I had decided to just collect and record just a couple of sample tracks. And by the time I was done listening to them, recording just a sample here and there and everywhere, I was at such peace just letting the whole thing go. And I thought I was going to maybe keep a couple. And they just went out the door yesterday afternoon. So it just feels great. And I have a little playlist I can listen to. And if I ever need to, and I probably will hardly ever do it, but
Yeah,
it was
but
a
your
beautiful.
dad is there, you know.
My dad, I've said goodbye to him and all those Sunday afternoons of listening to his marching bands and cowboy songs and Broadway musicals. I've got everything. So,
On that
on
note,
that note, yes. Well, we'll see you next time for discussion about more of these things.
thanks, Lynn.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Thanks for stopping by today. We're so glad you clicked on our episode. For more information about our project, Cohousing Houston, go to www.cohousinghouston.com and subscribe to our newsletter. For general information about cohousing, we like cohousing.org. We're active on social media, so check out what's happening on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under Cohousing Houston.